Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
And welcome to the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And I tell you what, the sun is just going down behind the clouds there. And I just want to welcome you to an absolutely perfect program. I want you to get on your phones right now and text people and email people and get on the Facebook sites and say, hey, you don't want to miss the program tonight because it's going to be one of those shows that you will want to watch over and over and over again because of the guests that we have tonight. And to be honest with you, I don't get nervous, but I'm just feel like I am in the presence of greatness this evening. And if you are in the speaking world, you'll know what I'm talking about here just in a second. We want to have comments tonight. We want to have questions tonight. We hope you feel comfortable enough to do that. 888-627-6008. And our guest is going to talk to you personally, or you can get right on the Facebook and type that in the comment area, and my son will hop on here later, Curtis, and let us know what kind of comments and questions that we have. Next week's show, you know, we're kind of celebrating our year anniversary of being on the air the whole month of August, but next week's show we have, I don't know, see if any of these bands bring up any memories. Bon Jovi, Foreigner, Styx, Journey, Survivor. So does any of those ring a bell? Well, I'll tell you what. Next week we have Todd Waite. And Todd Waite is a keyboardist. And he only has one arm. Now figure that one out. All right, he lost his arm at a young age with cancer, but when the keyboardist at Bon Jovi had trouble with his finger, they called this man to be able to come in and train him and give him tips on how to play the keyboard with only with damaged limbs, and he has an unbelievable story, a great Christian man. He travels the country motivating students, children, kids, teachers, schools on how to make what people consider lemons into lemonade, but it's more than that. How to take an unbelievable obstacle and turn it into stepping stones of being the best that you can be. So that's next week. Todd Waite will be right here live with us. And hopefully, maybe I'll get on my piano, he can get on his, and we can do a little duet or something next week. So make sure you be part of that and tell everybody about it. We also just want to let you know that if you invest with us a few minutes with us this evening, 45 minutes or an hour or whatever, we promise you that you're going to be able to take something with you that's going to make next week a better week. And I want to promise you, this is a money-back guarantee tonight, that if you're in the speaking world, if you're in the corporate world, and you know they have things that they call keynote speakers. And whenever you hear that there's a keynote speaker that's coming on, that means that's the big dog. That's the one that they have searched the entire nation for to find out that has that ability to be able to present a message that will go straight to the heart and either kick off a convention or training or close a convention or training with a wow. And they're standing on their feet and they're applauding. And I tell you what, this man tonight, Mr. Sam Glenn, is the probably most infamous and well-known keynote speaker. He don't do the little breakaway sessions on the side, the little storage closets that they stick me in. When I grew up, I wanted to be this man. And this guy talks about 100 times a year. He's from Indianapolis, Indiana, him and his wife and his lovely kids, and he's given up, I think, his ice cream night to be with us this evening. And just an author, and we're just going to let him tell you all about it. But Sam Glenn from Indiana, it's great to have you with us this evening. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Williams, it's an honor to be on your show. Thank you for having me. What a great evening. It's so beautiful there. It's beautiful here. So I'm excited to get into it, talk to you a little bit. And so thank you for those nice little accolades. I appreciate it. So I've been doing this for about, almost 3 decades. And
must have been 6 or 7 when you started.
Sure seems like it. But I mean, I actually started by teaching Sunday school. I mean, I volunteered. I took zeros and Fs in college whenever a presentation was required, just because I was afraid of public speaking. I actually saw one of my college buddies pass out during a speech, and he hit his head on the desk. He passed out. They had to call an ambulance, and I was just right there. That sealed the deal. I was like, no, I'm not giving a presentation. So for me to do what I do, it's an honor. So I'm excited that I get to do this. But for me, it just started off by volunteering.
Yeah,
just helping out with some teenagers and trying to encourage them. And almost 3 decades later, I'm still doing the same thing. So I'm still encouraging people. And I think right now, we all need it. Yes. So it's a necessity.
I remember several years ago, and I've been trying to find out where and when, because I've been all over the country, but it's been in the last 2 or 3 years, because that's when I started doing the traveling, speaking, that I was speaking in one of the side room closets when you was on the main stage. But I did meet you, and it was just an honor. And I tell you what, being in the presence of one of your speeches and presentations is like, wow, that's what I want to be like one day, because it was just when you have such a message in the way that you present it. And your books, I have used majority of your books. Some pieces of it I've stolen in trainings at Baylor College of Medicine, and just say, hey, you want to have, because you are really the attitude guy. You're the one that everybody that, you know, and probably my favorite book is A Kick in the Attitude. I really like that, and I have not got this new one, but we're going to ask everybody to buy this one tonight. This Attitude is a Choice. Looks like a great book, too. And then you have a new one coming out. But tell me, how did you get to where you are today? And then we'll talk about the paintings behind you. I even want to talk about the Batman hat, because I may want to hear that story, because it's probably one of the best stories that you have.
Yeah.
From 1996, from your bed almost being the floor of a 1982 Buick to where you are today, tell me how and what did it take from you to get to that point in your life, and now 30 years later go, hey, here I am speaking around the world and enjoying life.
Absolutely. Well, I think that a lot of people assume, well, if you write books on attitude, you speak on attitude, you must be a very positive human being. And I can honestly say I'm not. I have to work on it. Some people, they're naturally happy. But then you have somebody like me. When I wake up in the morning, it's kind of a tug of war. You're kind of thinking to yourself, okay, well, I don't feel negative, but I don't feel too positive either. So I've had to learn that whatever attitude I feed, give attention to, is the one that's going to lead the day. And really, I'm more of an observer. I'm a researcher. I observe and I report the things that I learn, the things that are meaningful and valuable to me, because I know if they're special to me, they'll be special to others. And I think my situation years ago when I was homeless, living in the back of an 82 Buick Regal, I didn't have much. I didn't have the internet, didn't have television. And but you know what I did have? I had books that people gave me. You know, I crammed 4 years of college into five, and I got an associate's degree. But every year, my mom gave me a gift, and I always encourage parents, no matter how old your children are, give them a book, because like my late mentor Zig Ziglar used to say, input creates output. And he would read on an average of 3.5 hours every day. And I remember asking him, I was like, Mr. Ziglar, why do you do that? And he says, Sam, he says, because I love my family. I love the people that I serve through the work that I do. And he says, when I feed my mind, it comes out through my attitude and my actions and how I parent, how I love my wife, how I serve people. And so I wasn't a big reader, especially when you have attention deficit disorder like I do. Sometimes when you pick up a book and you look at it and you see the small print, you think to yourself, okay, well, I'll just wait for the movie. So a lot of my content is wrapped up in a very ADD friendly way. It's meant to create retention. Yeah. So there's a method to my madness. And so living in the back of an 82 Buick Regal, I started reading these books. One of the books was by Dr. Robert Shuler, Tough Times Don't Last, But Tough People Do.
Yes.
And I found that as I was reading these books, my attitude began to change. I began to see possibility, have hope for myself, believe in myself, acknowledge that I have value. I have something of worth. I can contribute. I can make a difference. And so I almost, we'll call it a positive addiction, where I look forward to the reading, because I found that the more the stuff that I was reading, the more my life began to change and the more I felt happier. And so reading books has always been a big thing for me, and never in a million years did I think that I would be an author. So a lot of my books that you see, those are really just my notes that are dressed up for the presentation of those who like to read it. But so from where I was to how I got here, it's just small steps. You know, you learn along the way and you grow, and you make choices. You make a choice for an attitude that works for you, and your behaviors, responses, it all follows it. So, small steps get you to where you want to go.
You know, I always have looked at you, because you mentioned something about you take the little big pieces of information that you gather. You're kind of like what John Maxfield is in the leadership world to what people are and consider you in the attitude world, because I love opening up a table of contents and it has 13 points, because I don't want one point to go five chapters, get to the point. And so I could, because I have that same, I want to read it and close it. Bigger print, the better. If you have a picture, that'd be awesome. You know, that type of thing. So I really enjoy it. And maybe that's it, because it's your presentation notes and things of that order. And I like taking those nuggets of gold. And literally, you can just read a chapter a week or what, and still go, wow, that's really good. You don't have to read the whole thing at one time. I just love the way you write, and I appreciate that.
Well, there's a couple of things that I love that you'll notice in my presentations, in my books, is that I love cheesy metaphors, because we remember the cheese. Oftentimes in my presentations, I'll ask people if they can remember a cheesy line from a funny movie that's over 10 years old. And we remember that. And so, so I try to create that a little bit of retention with a little bit of cheese. So I like cheesy metaphors. So if you notice some of the titles of my books, like the new one coming out is based on the giraffe. It's called Keep Your Head Up. But those are the things that stick with us. In fact, what's interesting is I am doing a virtual talk for a company where the young man who hired me actually saw me when he was in junior high.
Can you believe it?
When he said, yeah, Mr. Glenn, I saw you in junior high. I've always been a fan. I've followed you ever since. I was just like, oh my God, I'm old.
Walker.
Well, here's the thing is that there are things that stick with us, yeah, that help us during our time. It just, they stay with us. They make an impression and we carry those. And he just started sharing his story. He said, you know, my family life was tough, but he says, you came to our school, you did this assembly, you painted a picture. And he says, I've never forgotten it. And he says, now that I'm married with my own kids, he said, I want to give this message to my family. I want to give this message to the people I work with. And that's the thing is when you have a message that's meaningful to you, you don't want to keep it to yourself. You want to give it to others because you know it's going to lift them up. It's going to elevate their life. Yeah. And especially right now, through all that we're going through. I mean, I was heading into 2020 literally with the best year of my life, business-wise. I felt like going into 2020, it was like the Chinese bamboo tree. I thought, okay, I've paid my dues. I've been putting in the work. Here comes the harvest.
Yes.
Wah, wah, wah.
I had a full booked calendar myself. And wow. It's just like, oh no, now what? Yeah.
But what's interesting is everything in my life, my experience, my history has given me the resilience to deal with what's happening today.
Yeah.
Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. In fact, I think this has become such a learning experience for me. When they had the mandatory, when you had to stay at home, I mean, that was like having my freedom taken away. And I found myself breaking some of my own rules. I found myself, because I couldn't go out and get a cup of coffee. I love a good cup of coffee. And so I couldn't get a cup of coffee. So I have to make instant coffee. And I don't know how to make instant coffee. You have to stir it really fast or it gets glopped and crunchy. So it was like drinking hot, yucky water with croutons. And I just found myself complaining. And there's that other little saying, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
And so the dishwasher broke. We just put in a new dishwasher. The heating element broke. The dryer broke. Something on the dryer, the belt, it sounded like somebody was in there. The kids were like, who's in there? And I was just like, Daddy's just like, it's a Sasquatch. What's a Sasquatch? You know, I just made it worse. So everything kept kind of piling up. And wow. My wife and I, we were sitting down to have a delicious cup of crunchy coffee. And she looks over and she asks me, she says, Sam, how you doing? And this is so important in our relationships and our work life. We have to check in with each other, do a little bit of attitude wellness check. How you really doing? And I just started complaining. I was just like, I don't know what we're going to do because I'm the kind of guy, I don't know how to fix anything. So if something breaks, a lock breaks in the door, we're moving, call Remax. And I said, I can't fix the dishwasher. Sasquatch is stuck in our dryer. I can't leave the house. This coffee's horrible. And I just found myself breaking my own rule.
Yeah.
And I was complaining and it was turning into a negative habit and it wasn't making my environment a positive one to be in. And my wife, she kind of called me out and it's a little bit of accountability. She said, Sam, is your attitude making the situation better or is it being hurtful? And so I had to kind of step back and evaluate and understand that my attitude in work and in life, it's an example. Whatever attitude you demonstrate, other people are going to replicate. And so I realized that I wasn't creating the best environment for my life, my work life, and my family. And so I just had to step back and make a couple new choices. You know, attitude is a choice. And so I had to make some new choices, and I did. And so I've been able to get through what we're going through with a better attitude and find new opportunities. But, I mean, it's been a test. It always is.
That's great. Hey, well, we're going to take our first break. But when we come back, Sam, I want to kind of pick in your brain and find out when you're invited to speak with the big dogs at Walmart or IBM or Ford or some of these places that you've been and you are the one that they have put thousands of dollars and all their promotion into you. What words do you share with the people that have it all? Is it same for people like me? I just want to kind of find out, how do you deal with that when you walk in to a room full of suits? And what wisdom do you have for them that we can steal for you, that people would still wear this kind of stuff? So we're going
to absolutely
on the other side of this break. So don't leave us. Get online, text somebody, say, hey, you want to watch the show tonight? Because Sam is knocking it out of the park right here on Breaking the Silence. So we'll take our first commercial break. Be right back.
This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life, and this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio.
We paid the band extra money to play that kind of music, so that was just great. This is the book that's coming out soon, and the reason that it's kind of being held back is a little bit, I don't know, Sam, if you can help with this with the COVID thing, but it kind of messed up publishing. But in the lieu of that, instead of going, oh, no, what am I going to do now, I adapted the entire book to teenagers, and it's called When the Dark Clouds Come, a roadmap for teenagers to be able to have something to teach them how to journal, how to vent their negativity and experiences that happened in their life on the pages, and then maybe to share some of those pages with some close friends they trust and kind of show them how to deal with difficult times. Sam, Curtis is just telling me that we're just getting all kinds of great comments online, and people are just saying wonderful things about you, and I knew that was going to be the case. When you're asked to talk to the CEOs and these people that have everything, at least from the outside looking in, we think they do, what kind of motivation do you really search for? I mean, do you really go deeper than what you normally do with us normal folk? Or do you try to find something that just is adaptable for everybody?
I think there's certain things that are basic. So when I played college basketball, we would always focus on the fundamentals. Yeah. Because without the fundamentals, you're going every direction. And sometimes we forget the fundamentals. In fact, I had an internship out of college with a company that was number one in the world on the planet. And everybody in our university wanted to work there. They on average maybe hired one or two people a year. And I actually landed an internship because I went to the job fair and I just wasn't ready to work. And I asked the lady, I said, hey, do you have anything under 10 hours a week? And she just found it hilarious. She thought I was joking. And I guess it connected and they hired me. And I really thought, hey, if they're number one on the planet, in the world, they must be some of the best people and I can learn something. And when I got there, I realized that the environment was toxic. The people were toxic. And when you stop doing the things that create a strong foundation, which are the fundamentals, like in basketball, shooting a free throw, doing the right things, integrity. When you stop doing that, the foundation crumbles. That company no longer exists.
Wow.
And so when I'm in a room with a group of people, there are some things that are universal, and I do try to customize it to that industry. And when you're talking about attitude and leadership and engagement, some of those might sound like common sense, but honestly, common sense isn't always a common practice.
Right.
And so even for you and I, there are certain gems in our own life that you know, you might pick up a book that you haven't read in 10 years and you pick it up and you're like, oh gosh, just that having that reminder. So sometimes we need that little positive reminder, a break from it all, something to refresh, stir the tanks, fuel the tank a little bit. So that's really what I try to do when I'm speaking to groups.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm sure you've heard the story and you may use it. I know I use it a lot. Vince Lombardi, the coach of the Green Bay Packers, infamous coach, would start every season with all these huge guys. And he'd say, hello, guys. And the first session of the practice was always, he'd pick up the football and he'd look at him. He said, hello, this is a football. And
that's
who
right.
Would get his, you know, his college teams all together. And he'd say, okay, boys, this is how to put your socks on and how to tie your shoes. It has to be built from the ground up, or it's going to break down somewhere down the line. So great words. There's a blog that I would recommend everybody to go online and on the Sam Glenn webpage about attitude. And it's a well check. You wrote this, I think it's your most recent blog about the three E's. We need a well check right now. Don't you think, not only as individuals, Sam, people that are listening, the thousands of people that are listening around the world now, and it's going to in the future. What can you tell them about what's going on in our world and what kind of tune-up and well-check do we need internally and also with our attitude right now?
Well, I think we all respond to adversity differently.
Yeah.
And it takes a toll on us. So when you think about this virus, some people, they get the virus, and after maybe a couple weeks, they're fine. Their body's able to fight it off. But there's other people that when they get this virus, their body has no idea how to battle it. And the same is true upstairs. I mean, when all of this started changing, we took our 18-month-year-old son in for his wellness checkup. And as we were talking to the pediatrician, she said that before the whole pandemic, weekly on average, she might get one case for a child 10 and under that would have anxiety or depression. And she says when the pandemic started, her case load jumped or spiked to 40 per week. So what that tells you is that these young kids, this is why your book is so exciting. And I was thrilled to hear that. What a great opportunity to make that shift, because young people are trying to learn how to manage these emotions in a time that we'll never forget. And so after talking with the pediatrician, these kids have this anxiety. And sometimes what's happening is they are reflecting or mirroring their parents. Their parents aren't knowing how to handle it because, hey, the whole world has changed. Mom and dad have all of a sudden become homeschool teachers. I know a lot of people have been let go. Are out of work. So there is a lot of stress. And so it's recognizing that having a positive attitude, it's not going to stop adversity from happening. It's not going to stop the junk from happening. But here's what a positive attitude will do for you, a better attitude, actually. It's going to give you the mental stamina, the clarity, and most importantly right now, the creativity to deal with what's going on, learn from it, become from it, and actually use it as a stepping stone. And that's how you have to view it, because adversity, it doesn't make appointments. It doesn't knock on your door at 3:00 in the afternoon on a Tuesday and say, hey, can I flatten your tires and blow the pipes in your house, the plumbing on Saturday? Does that work for you and your budget? Let's do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. So it's recognizing that you don't need a perfect attitude. It's about having a progressive attitude and choosing to get a little bit better every day, and allow yourself some grace. You're going to have moments where you're like, I always ask people, have you ever had a situation where your attitude made something much worse? Of course. Those are teachable moments. And if you repeat that moment, it becomes get a clue moments.
Yeah.
And so allow yourself a little bit of grace to grow, to learn, and to use what's going on to your advantage. And really, like I said, you don't need a perfect attitude, but allow yourself to get a little better every day. Just a little bit does make a difference.
You know, I think when this pandemic hit and all the appointments, at least for me personally, started to write in, hey, we're postponing, we're rescheduling, you know, all these California dates that I had going up and down the coast of California in crowds that were size of what, you know, you were talking about, and you do, you know, 50,000 people, you know, in the stadium. It's like, oh my lands, this is the one I have been waiting for. Because how many appointments or gigs do you get after a presentation like that? Oh, it fills up the following year. I was just pumped and I was rolling, and it was just like, okay, finally, the 2 years of this first book, it was just going to start taking off, and it was just getting to where, like you said at the beginning, and now this happened, and now I'm having speakers call me and write me and say, hey, can you put me on the show? I need something to do. And I always say, absolutely, yeah, you tell me what you do, and I'll listen, and if you're good, we'll do it. But so most of them I really do. And I keep encouraging people, because I think on the other side of this, Sam, we're going to have a whole different world that are dry sponges looking for people like you that has the message, like me that has hopefully a roadmap to hope, that can say, hey, now that we're back to somewhat normalcy, I think they're going to be lined up looking for help and looking for that positive attitude. And is that maybe what this Keep Your Heads Up new book that you have coming out? I want to segue into that because I'm excited about this draft book.
Well, what's interesting is I think it was maybe about two and a half years ago, we were at the Indianapolis Zoo. And my daughter, she was 4 years old at the time, and she was just fascinated by the giraffes. She just, I mean, her eyes were bugging out of her head like a giraffe. And she's just like, Daddy, look how high their heads go up. They go up to the sky. And little did I know, a new cheesy metaphor was coming on. And she said, she knows a little bit about what I do. She just knows that Daddy travels a lot. He stays in hotels, eats room service, and shares, you know, encouragement with others. And she just kind of had this amazing aha look on her face. And she says, you know what, Daddy, you should tell everybody at your workplace that they should be like a giraffe and keep their head up. And all I can say is out of the mouth of babes, because little did I know that 2 years later, that would become such an uplifting book. I mean, it is a great book. I know I've actually read it.
Well, that's good.
I actually had an agenda to work on another book, and this one, it flowed. And I recognized that everybody needs encouragement right now.
Yeah.
And I can confidently say this is one book that you will read that will lift your spirits in a time that you will never forget. And this is the essence of everything that I'm about. It's about extending a hand through some encouraging words and helping people up. Because right now, I truly believe we are stronger when we stick together, work together. We are stronger together. And part of being stronger together is we have to encourage each other, because wherever there's discouragement, we're going to come apart. But wherever there's encouragement, we come together like this show. This is a show that people are finding hope, coming together. They're finding strength. They're finding a reason to lift their head up, to find that resilience and optimism, because it takes incredible courage to be optimistic when everything is telling you not to be. And so that's really the essence of this book. It's just a cheesy metaphor, but it's filled with some good stuff that's going to feed your mental health. A lot of people think, well, Sam, you just talk a lot about attitude. Really, it's just helping people learn to manage their emotions, because when you see the news, when people lose their patience or they lose their cool or things get escalated, I saw something the other day where people were kind of the face mask shaming, you know, put your mask on, and it just escalated. And so it's about learning to manage your emotions so you can understand that you're responsible for your responses, and knowing that the choices you make, is it's either going to work for you or work against you. And so it's remembering not to let things elevate, not to let things elevate within you and outside of you as well.
Yeah. You know, I drive downtown Houston, so I understand what that agitation and rage is, because I get people to wave at me all the time. They're not waving like this, you know. Isn't it interesting how you can find one line and you can build a complete presentation on, like, keep your head up? I was just, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I was just watching In the Line of Fire, just before we came on. It was on at 5 o'clock. Clint Eastwood, John Malkovich, they're in this, John Malkovich tried to kill the president, and Clint Eastwood just took the shot for him, and they're in the elevator. Do you remember the scene? And they're fighting in the elevator, and Clint Eastwood's down, and John Malkovich's getting ready to kill him. And he said this one line, and I wrote it down. I thought, there's a book. And Clint Eastwood has he's talking to the Secret Service here, but the assassin doesn't know it. And he says, no matter what you do, aim high. And I thought, aim high.
Yep.
That is awesome. Always aim high. And it's like, that's perfect. So I wrote that down and started doing a 5-point presentation on just that. And it's just amazing how we overlook things that give us what we should naturally look for in the positiveness in the world. And a lot of times we just coat it over with a brush of paint and say, oh, it's the same old stuff. It's the same old stuff. And that's what I love about your book.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A few years ago, this lady, she came up to me after my presentation, and she said, that was a good show, or something like that. And then she said, I just want you to know I'm not into all that Peter Pan, Pollyanna, positive, rah-rah kind of thinking. But here's what I'm going to – I'll have clients who will share that with me, and I understand that. People want something of substance.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you something. Life needs rah-rah. Rah-rah is – it's energy. It's enthusiasm. It's life. We need rah-rah moments, like when my wife said yes at the altar, rah-rah. When my kids came into the world, rah-rah. And sometimes we're not going to have those rah-rah moments, especially right now, but you can create those enthusiastic moments, those rah-rah moments for yourself. Like, we had planned to, my kids were so excited about going to Disney World, and that was going to be a rah-rah moment for them. And so we had to get creative. And so when you have challenging times, it's a call to be resourceful and to be creative. And so we decided to create our own little Disney experience and plan for something fun. So 4 weeks in a row, every Saturday night, we planned a Disney theme. My night was Wreck-It Ralph. I love that show. It's got a great message to it. And so we actually, my wife, the place that we stay at in Florida, it's called the Floridian. It has the most amazing scent and smell when you walk in. And so she actually purchased a candle on Etsy that smells like the Floridian. So we light the candle, so our house smells like Disney. The kids decorate. And we found that it was something fun for them to look forward to. We couldn't go to Disney, but we brought Disney to our home. And we created a rah-rah moment. We were creative. And we created that rah-rah moment that my kids, when they look back on this time, they're going to remember these little positive nuggets. So we need to create those rah-rah moments for ourselves, something that gets us excited, something to look forward to, even if it's something little. Maybe it's a cup of coffee without any croutons in it.
You know, I, as a supervisor at Baylor College of Medicine, I need to keep reminding myself that I need to, even though I'm the only one working, everybody else is working from home right now. But it was amazing what a little sticky note on their computer screen would do for them by just saying, hey, you rock. Thanks for doing what you do. I appreciate you. Or, you know, you're the best. You know, just those kind of things. We need to sometimes remember that. And I know periodically I stick to my work and I only think of work when we need to bring everybody, like John says in his books, hey, when you climb the ladder, reach down and grab somebody and bring them along with you, because that's what put value in other people.
And here's what's interesting is sometimes we have no idea how powerful, what an impact that little sticky note has. In fact, when I think it was one of the first jobs I had out of college, that my supervisor always wrote a little note on the envelope of my check. And, you know, you always look forward to a check. You're like, it's payday. But I found myself looking forward to that encouragement from that little note. It was that something extra. And because of that little note, I was more engaged at work. I was ready to, if he said, okay, can you come in Saturday? I'm there. It just, you step up your game. It's those little things that make the difference. Those little things of letting people know, the people that you live with, hey, thank you. I know you didn't feel like doing the dishes tonight, but gosh, thanks for doing it anyways. You did a great job. Those little things make such a huge difference.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, jump on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. You can get right there. You get the link to Sam's website, and we'll let Sam's going to end up telling you all about how to get in touch with him tonight. But we have lots of people on there, and I'm looking to see if we have, to be able to, matter of fact, they can purchase the books. We have a link on our site, or they can go right on your Sam Glenn. I need, well, with your name, just Sam Glenn.
Sam Glenn Books.
Yes.
And .com. Right
there, to the blog and to the homepage, and they want you to come and speak. Or you're doing a lot of virtual stuff right now, right?
A lot of virtual stuff, and I'm having a blast. And so I wrote an article just trying to encourage people how to up their game with their virtual sessions. So I think I think the best training to make your Zoom sessions a little more entertaining is watch some Blue's Clues, Pee-wee's Playhouse, and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, because they actually captivate children. They actually captivate children for over a half hour just talking to the camera. And if you can do that, that makes communication more effective than just sitting there at your laptop. Okay, you guys, believe in yourself. I hope you're doing good. So you got to spice it up a little bit.
That's right. We're going to take our last break right now, and then Sam on the other side of this. I kind of want to talk about possibly your hat and maybe the story. And I'll let you tell the story. I don't know if you want to share it or not, or they can get online and do it, however you want to do it. But it's an awesome story. And we're going to take some comments and questions if Curtis has any on the other side. So don't leave us. Stay right there. We'll be right back after this quick minute and 12-second commercial break. Be right back.
HCI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
The last segment of Breaking the Silence. And if you want to call in tonight, 888-627-6008. Stan would even be willing to talk to you tonight, right online, if you have a question or a comment, and we'd love to have you come and just hop on and let us know. Most of the time, Stan, we're talking people and physicians and therapists and social workers and people that have overcome an adverse situation of abuse like me for 17 years or alcoholism in their family or their mom and dad having problems. So I every now and then I like having an up moment of, and I think that's important in our life. You know, I think that every now and then we just sit back and laugh and enjoy life. And I would imagine that's why you're so popular, because having that positive attitude, we need to be reminded of.
I think you're absolutely right. We have to remember to lighten up and laugh once in a while. In fact, the story I was telling you earlier about everything that was breaking in the house while, you know, we're stuck at home, it was just like a joke. It's like the house was playing a joke on me. Like everything kept busting. Well, the air conditioning broke. Nothing like having the air conditioning break during the summertime. So my wife, she Googled what she thought was wrong. And I guess it's called a capacitor. I don't know what it is. But she said it was the flux capacitor.
Oh, my.
And that's, yeah, and that's from, I think, a movie from with Michael J. Fox and
Back to the Future. Going
back, yeah, Back to the Future. Well, I didn't know that. So I called the air conditioning company, and they said, well, what seems to be the problem? I said, well, our flux capacitor broke. So this lady, she is just rolling with laughter. And I said, does that happen often? And she goes, you'd be surprised, you know. And my wife is just, she is just rolling hysterically. And I mean, she kind of set it up for me just to make a fool out of myself. But we had a good laugh about that. And I'll never forget calling an actual professional company to having some guy come out and to fix our flux capacitor. And when the guy showed up, he says, I'm here to fix your flux capacitor. So, but I think it's so important to have those little moments where you can laugh and you might be thinking, well, I don't have anything to laugh about right now. And there's moments of joy, and that was a joyful moment. And wherever there's joy, there's strength. And so it's little moments like that. And you got to give yourself permission just to relax a little bit, lighten up, and knowing that laughter puts our attitude in a better place. It feels good. It's like an instant vacation. You just got to relax a little bit.
Yeah. Does the paintings behind you and your work with art, does that provide you your place like the piano does for me to be able to go and drift off into my own world? Tell me about how important art is to you and how you incorporate it now in what you do.
Well, I kind of, when I'm speaking in front of audiences, I've started painting kind of similar to Bob Ross. There's speed painters. Yeah. Yeah. The PBS guy, Happy Accidents, You Feel Good, You Can't Change the Channel. So at first I kind of thought, well, I'm going to be a speed painter and paint really fast, but I didn't like that. And so I started painting and talking at the same time, and I found that it created engagement, but also relaxed people. It became very engaging. So I wanted to paint pictures that were meaningful to me. So like the butterfly, I started painting these butterflies using leftover paint, and it became a message, using the best of what you have to create the best of what you want. And so the giraffe is a reminder to keep your head up. So getting away to do the art is just kind of a moment to find a little balance, something to feed my, just to find a good place. And I think we have to find a hobby or something that we can do that helps us create a little balance, releases the stress, helps us feel good. In fact, when the pandemic started happening, I actually started giving my art away. I actually, every single weekend now, I give a painting, an original painting away on Sunday, but I did it consistently for 100 days, I got up early, painted a picture, and gave it away to somebody. And I found such purpose in hearing people's stories when they won the art. It was just incredible. So I think you have to have that little something, whether it be the piano, art, whatever, just something little.
So that's just where you kind of go in and you just lose yourself in that, a mindfulness type moment, peace, relaxation. Is that what it does for you?
For me, it's a time to create. It's a time to discover. It's almost like a Jackson Pollock, just whipping paint all over, having that freedom, just to see what comes out of it. And for me, it's really what I call positive distraction.
Yeah,
it's a moment to break away from everything that's going on, to recharge, refocus, renew, and then go back to it. So it's been very, I guess, therapeutic. So yeah. I love it. I really do. I love it more that people actually want my art.
As a matter of fact, they can get right on your sites and they can purchase your artwork. You have it right there on your site if they want to do that, right?
Yep, they can purchase it. And if they follow me on Facebook, I always do little specials for the fans that follow me. I call them the super fans because they show up. They're like family every day. I show up, I put a positive quote, right? It's cool how you can really develop a connection and a relationship with people and know that when you get up or go to bed, they're there. They're like family. And so I'll paint pictures, put them there. It's kind of like my little mini refrigerator. You know, when you're a kid, you come home and you put that picture on the fridge and everybody praises it. So that's what Facebook has become for me. And so every now and then I'll take a picture of one of my paintings and we'll just send people a little miniature print in the mail. So we're going to be doing that pretty soon with the giraffe painting where they don't have to pay anything. It's just a little print that they get that they can put on their own refrigerator as a reminder, keep your head up, and just something simple. So that's usually the best place to follow me. That's where I'm at. That's my hangout. So
great. You miss not being in airplanes right now every week? Because I'm segueing into this story. Do we have enough time? Can you do this story in about 4 or 5 minutes?
Sure.
This makes me belly laugh every time, but the backstory.
What's interesting is you're a fan of this story, but have you heard of Goalcast? It's called Goalcast. It's a really big. They have motivational videos every day and just real inspirational stuff. They're really well known. They actually heard this story and they put it up and it had like over 1 million hits.
Wow.
And they actually asked for my feedback. They're like, Sam, is there anything that, you know, Goalcast can put out there that would make a difference? And I told them a lot of their stuff is very serious. It's very heavy. And so you got to have that moment to create some lightheartedness. And that's what this story did. I just talked about being on an airplane. It was a long day. And I think it was in Minneapolis. The pilot announced we were number 19 for takeoff or something like that. So I just kind of, you know, when you're on a plane, you're thinking how we're never going to leave. Finally, we get up there. He starts revving the engines and people start screaming in the back of the plane. They're just getting up out of their seats. It's kind of scary because you're looking back and you're thinking, oh, something's going down. So the pilot hears the commotion, pulls the engines back or the brakes, and the plane just kind of, you know, stops abruptly. They get the plane off the runway and they find out there's a huge bat, a big bat with wings is flying around on the plane. And he makes an announcement. He's just like, folks, we're sorry for the inconvenience. There's a bat on the plane. Just stay calm. We've asked somebody to come get it. We're going to stay up here with the cockpit door shut. We'll check on you later. So this was not a bat-educated audience. Bats are very friendly creatures. But, I mean, when you watch too many horror films, and some lady, nobody could find the bat. It just kept flying to dark spots, and it would shrink. So people – it was literally like a scene out of Batman. People are like, where is it? Where is it? And then all of a sudden you'd see it flutter and more screams. And I think I was just so tired. I was out of it. And I probably looked like the most calm person there. I just didn't care. I was just like, well, whatever. My day is ruined. I'm just sit here as a bat. The flight attendant, she looks down at me and she asks the question. She says, you know, you're the only person not freaking out. How come? And it was the first thing that popped into my brain. I just looked up at her, and because I'm a huge Batman fan, I just said, because I'm Batman. And she started laughing, but the kicker of the story was there was a little boy who was 4 years old that was two seats behind me, and he heard me say this. And this little boy, all of a sudden, he's just like, Dad, Dad, Batman's on the plane. And that's when I was like, oh, no. And this little boy, he got up and he starts announcing to everybody on the plane. He's just like, everybody, it's going to be okay. Batman is on the plane. So, and then the flight attendant, she looked at me and she's like, well, you know, you're going to have to go get that thing. I was like, I don't think so. But, I mean, there's more to that story, but that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. It was just a funny experience. But after that little boy told everybody to calm down, it just kind of changed the atmosphere. And that's the thing is, whatever attitude we put out there, it's going to create our environment. Our behaviors, our choices, our responses, they follow that attitude that we put out there. So that little boy changed a culture of fear and panic and anger into something where people were happy, joyful, and finally they got the bat off the plane. I told them they should just open the door. So,
yeah, that's great. I love that. Sam, thank you so much for being with us tonight. I know, especially with the short notice and you just responding to my email like that and just like, I do that, but I don't know many other people that do it. I appreciate you doing that immediately. Mm. Awesome.
And thank you.
Green night with your wife, or hopefully you had it before or after, one of the two. Yeah. If some of our listeners want to contact you, get on your website, buy your book. I encourage any of your books is worth of the money, especially the one that's coming out. I'm anxious. I want to get a pre-buy on that. But how will they get in touch with you and the sites of getting in touch with you?
If they just go to samglennbooks.com, samglennbooks.com, it's all right there.
Okay, and if you come to talk to 100,000 people at the next convention that has people in it, that's the same place to get in touch with you too?
SamGlennBooks.com or SamGlenn.com. So either one will take you where you need to go. And I just want to highlight, it's an honor being on your show. And I'm actually going to check out your book because it sounds like you're really making a difference, and I can't wait to read your content as well. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Sam. It was great, and it's just nice to have a friend in Indianapolis, and hopefully we'll meet on the road someday when we all get back on stages and talking. And thank you again for your time.
Oh, thank you.
We always like to close every show with the same little 30-second speech, no matter what you're going through in your life right now, no matter what's happened to you, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're facing tomorrow, I want to let you know there's always hope. There's always, always, always hope. And maybe you need to just get on Sam's site and look up some of the things that he talks about and attitude, but just make that shift to remember that there's always something to laugh about. There's always something to have joy about. You are blessed. We are all blessed. And find the hope in your week this week. Join us next week for Todd Waite. You will not want to miss the one man, the one armed man pianist. I can't wait to see Todd next week. But thanks, Sam. Get on his site, samglennbooks.com, and just find out more about him. Thank you. Have an awesome week. Live from Houston, we'll be right back here again next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, live for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.